Good afternoon. My name is Lakeisha Flagg. I'm a DRPH student at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Public Health. Today I'll be providing a presentation on my progress to date on my dissertation, The Future of Army Public Health Nursing, and Assessment of Gaps and Factors Influencing Workforce Support of Health Promotion Priorities. And I have no financial disclosures to speak of. A little background, Army Public Health Nursing is very similar to civilian public health nursing. We share many of the same challenges. Our population shares many of the same challenges as far as chronic disease and obesity with both our active duty service and our beneficiaries and retirees and civilian population. So currently we're in the midst of a huge transition. Congress has mandated changes in our organization, has also mandated some funding cuts, which will result in personnel cuts. So there's a lot of impetus right now for us to demonstrate our value, probably more so than we have in the past 15 years. With that, we're also experiencing a paradigm shift, as you all are seeing nationally with the Affordable Care Act and this change from a focus on chronic disease to more prevention and health promotion and wellness, really kind of getting our arms around influencing health outside of the brick and mortar healthcare facilities, which is what we're accustomed to doing, which is what Army medicine has historically done, has provided that care on the battlefield in those hospitals and here in the United States on the ground in those hospitals. So right now, There's a direction for public health nurses to support this movement to health promotion and prevention, which is perfect because that's what we do. We're guided by the same standards and principles the ANA guidance for scope and practice. Those are our foundation. So with this movement, with the AMED transition, with the cuts in personnel and structure, our Surgeon General of the Army has developed a system for health. And it is really based on influencing the life space, influencing people where they live, and not waiting for them to present themselves for care. And we see this as an opportunity to really engage and demonstrate our value. This is a window of opportunity. So the problem statement that I've come up with, in a nutshell, is based on established professional practice standards and relevant Army regulations, which again are based on those scopes of practice standards. The skill set of Army public health nurses appears well suited to facilitate enterprise-wide adoption of the system for health strategy. Again, this is a health promotion strategy. As the Army Medical Command reorganizes and reprioritizes to meet emerging requirements, it is essential for APHN leaders to address the ambiguity surrounding the alignment of the workforce and to begin to systematically demonstrate their value add. So we do have pockets of success. We do have lots of nurses. There's about 300 of us worldwide supporting military operations at about 48 facilities. We've got some people doing wonderful things, but we also have some inconsistencies in practice, which we need to get at. So my research questions are, what are the gaps related to the APHN workforce alignment? And by alignment, I mean, how are we adhering to those standards so that we are working to the top of our license? How are we being utilized? Where are those gaps? And particularly, what are the gaps between the practice standards, regulations, the strategic priorities? Because our leaders, although they have a vision for practice, is it aligned with what our scope is? Are these things that we're capable of doing by law? And then what are the gaps between current practice and the regulations? Are we practicing to the top of our license? Are we practicing in alignment with what our leaders expect us to do? Secondly, I'm looking at the factors that might contribute to the alignment or misalignment of the workforce. Throughout the literature, there's some clear evidence about factors that enable health promotion practice and that also serve as barriers to health promotion practice. And the last part, and I'll speak a little bit more of this, but how can that alignment occur if there is misalignment? So my concept map here kind of illustrates that. There are many factors that affect health promotion practice of public health nurses, education being a big piece of that. The nursing process informs how we execute health promotion practice, as well as the 10 essential public health services. Those definitely inform that. But there are some contextual issues that influence the ability of nurses to do what they need to do, and those being at the macro level, things like the National Prevention Strategy that provide that national momentum for us to really deliver health promotion services. At the organization level, Is mentoring provided? Does the local leadership encourage health promotion practice, or is there more emphasis on that clinical individual focused care? And then lastly, we have those APHN or PHN level factors. Are the nurses comfortable with delivering health promotion? Are they more comfortable with one-on-one care? Do they feel confident in their ability to provide these services? Those are the individual levels. So looking at the three of those, looking at both barriers in those regards and enabling factors, because they shape the practice of our nurses. And then I spoke to the gaps, and the gaps are important because the final phase of this research is to present the findings to the nursing leadership so that they can have a better understanding of the barriers of the facilitators, and also in general what the nurses are facing, because I think with the performance measurement that we're currently doing, we don't really understand what's taking place at the ground level, and I'd venture to guess that we're not unique in that regard. We tend to track measures that are important to others and not necessarily those that impact our practice. With the goal being an aligned, the goal of all of this being developing a plan, a strategy, using tools like yours, we could probably get to those, but to develop an informed strategy to better align our workforce. So description of procedures. I'm using mixed method and emergent design, using action research techniques, and again, being able to provide the findings to the leadership so that they can make informed choices about the way ahead. Phase one has been document reviews, looking at the strategic plan for the system of health. What does it look like? The Army regulations, what do those say that our nurses should be doing? And looking at the nurse practice standards. The second phase has been leader interviews, looking at those strategic leaders inside Army Public Health Nursing that influence public health nursing practice. Phase three, doing practice surveys of our staff out in the field. And that fourth phase, presenting the information to our leadership. So preliminary findings, and I went into this knowing that there would be consistency with our new strategy with the system for health, consistency between that, our practice standards, our Army regulation. And that's reassuring because every now and then you get a tangent, you know, a leader who wants something that no one's really positioned or resourced to do. But there is congruency here, and that's a good thing. The guidance also speaks to the real focus of our practice being population focused. And granted, there are times and needs that call for individual focus, but for the most part, our patient is that community. Should be evidence-based, should be based on the 10 essential public health service. And this was foundational. I mean, it seems intuitive, but we needed to establish the ground rules, and that's what this phase allowed me to do. But when I delved a little deeper into the regulation, Army regulation in particular, the health promotion roles and responsibilities, those lines were really blurred. I found that that guidance really didn't speak to the full scope of public health nursing practice. It spoke to nurses doing tobacco cessation. It spoke to nurses doing inspections. And we know that we're capable of doing so much more. And so my mind goes back to the challenges faced by nurse practitioners and CNS, those in the CNS field. They face the same issues. And we're seeing that here. We have the expectation for nurses to rise up and to meet this need, but the guidance that we're providing them is not explicit. And that's problematic. So the second phase, the leader interviews, and when I say nursing leaders, I mean those that are assigned to the regions, like the states, they have the chief nurse for the states. In Army medicine, we have regions, so there's one senior public health nurse that oversees the practice of all PHNs assigned to that region. It's a little tricky, though, because they have administrative authority, but they don't have operational authority, so they can't make a nurse do anything. If the commander decides they want nurses to just be responsible for monthly health observances, that's what that nurse is going to do. If they want that nurse to just stay in the STD clinic, STI clinic, that's what that nurse is going to do. And so there's the challenge of influencing areas where you don't have direct authority, and I think that's a lesson that we're learning. Those are skills that are not inherent that we're adjusting to and adapting. But there's a challenge there, and that's what I mean by the multiple lines of accountability, which inevitably leads to role confusion. If if the person who writes your check every month, who pays you every month, doesn't intend for you to do what you've been trained to do, it's like, well, what is my real purpose here? And it's easy for those priorities to get lost. And again, resulting in underutilization or inconsistent utilization of staff. Phase three, I'm just stepping into this, so I can't really speak to what the final results are, but what I'm finding is that that there are variations in practice for which likely could be contributed to some of the reasons that I mentioned with the multiple lines of accountability and those things, but also seeing people respond in regards to those macro level factors. Those barriers don't exist as much as I thought they would. People feel very well supported. They feel well resourced. They feel that their leadership supports health promotion practice. But there's some challenges in terms of confidence, in terms of mentorship, getting the support that they need to provide health promotion services. Interestingly, in my survey, I asked whether or not they felt that their practice was aligned with the system for health. Again, the system for health being this health promotion strategy for our population. And a large majority of them said that they didn't do anything in support of the system for health, which I found a little puzzling. So seeing at this point an issue with communication, it's important to know what we are doing and how that is supporting larger priorities. I've also looked at our annual program status report, and that report has kind of verified some of the findings that I've stumbled upon at this point. So next steps, still lots of work to do, completing installation level interviews, those section leaders, getting a little deeper into what those issues are, what the challenges are, to answer my gap analysis. And then the presentation of the findings to the senior nursing leadership so that they can figure out who they need to engage to better impact public health nursing. So implications for practice. I hope this time next year to be able to present some final results. But I'd like to think that it's these sorts of questions and this type of engagement that helps us to identify practice barriers so that our practice can be better aligned with priorities. It's all about what our values are, what we bring to the table, how we're utilized to support those things so that we can demonstrate our value added. So I'll hold questions to the end, and thank you.